Well, today we continue with our North Carolina Mayors series with the leader of the oldest town in the nation founded by African Americans. As the Civil War was coming to a close, a group of people freed from enslavement crossed the Tar River in eastern North Carolina. And in that swamp, they founded a settlement, hoping former slave owners wouldn't attack since the land was no good for farming. 20 years later, residents of Freedom Hill marched to Raleigh to demand incorporation. State lawmakers decided they would allow the town to be chartered, but under the name of President Garfield, who was a staunch advocate for African-American civil rights before his assassination in 1881, the residents of Freedom Hill declined to name the town in honor of Garfield and instead named their home for Turner Prince, a talented black carpenter. Mr. Prince built much of the original settlement, and his work withstood flood after flood for many generations. Today, I am thrilled to speak with the mayor of Princeville, Mayor Bobby Jones. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you so much.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. I hope you're doing the same.
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
You stole all of my thunder, though.
Well, I'm gonna ask you to talk. That's the Wikipedia entry. You and you've got a deeper, longer history, and that's what I want to hear today. But first, I have to ask you, and maybe this is a way of getting at that. Maybe this is a way of pointing to that rich history, because, you know, certainly flooding has been a lifelong story in Princeville, an ever-present threat and danger. What keeps you from relocating?
The fact that our forefathers, upon freedom, walked across that Tar River Bridge to absolutely nothing, with absolutely nothing but their God-given gifts and talents, and they created Freedom Hill from swampland. And from swampland, like you said, 20 years later, we petitioned Congress to rename the town of Freedom Hill to Princeville, after Turner Prince, in addition to incorporating the town. And as you said, initially, we were granted the charter. However, they wanted it named after Garfield, and we stood firm, and I'm so proud of our forefathers for standing firm for Turner Prince, who was a carpenter. Other than being a carpenter, he had very little other things to support himself. And from our blood, sweat, and tears of our forefathers right there on Freedom Hill to Princeville, that's why I do what I do on a daily basis, to make sure that as I look back at our forefathers and what they did for us to make sure we had something of our own, I want our future generation to look back on what we are doing currently in the town of Princeville to make sure that they are proud of who they are, as well as we are proud of who we are.
Well, I want to hear exactly what you're doing these days, but take us back to your childhood and your upbringing in that area.
My story, once I retire, will be a book, a bestseller. I've been through a lot of things in my 59 years. I would not change anything at all. I was born and raised on the outskirts of Princeville. Two sharecroppers, my mom and dad both dropped out of school in sixth grade to provide food and shelter for their eight children. I'm the youngest of eight, and I watched them work every day, hard, sweat, no blood, but a lot of tears about how we were treated and not respected as human beings. And from their work ethic, they always told me that no matter what I did, to be the very best at it. But I knew I did not want to be a sharecropper. I knew I did not want to work on the farms. So I worked hard at leaving the field at the age of 16. I was lucky enough to become a janitor. At least it was inside most of the day. I worked at Tarver High School, and because of my work ethic during the summer months, our principal came to me and asked me if I would continue to work in after school from 3 to 5, and I jumped at that opportunity. I still worked hard, and I worked at that as a custodian until I graduated from high school in 1979. 1 month later, I was in the Marine Corps boot camp. Very best decision I'd ever made. It made me grow up from a boy to a man very quickly. I served our country 5.5 years on active duty, and then an additional 7.5 years after I got out as a reservist. Went to school at Harbarger Junior College, earned the Best Business Administration Student Award. From Harbarger, I went to North Carolina Wesleyan College, earned a BS in business, went to work for a Fortune 500 company, worked 2.5 years, took a 2.5 year leave of absence to go to Howard University, earned my MBA. From Howard, I went back to the Fortune 500 company, worked another 7 months, offered a promotion, took the promotion, worked for another, I guess, a year, did extremely well, ended up getting fired, though. Came back home, could not find a job for 18 months. I ended up, one of my friends who worked at the Fortune 500 company had a wife who was a principal, so she hired me as a alternative education teacher working with the at-risk students.
So we're circling back to education because I want to spotlight a moment earlier when you talked about all that hard work at the high school where you were given the job as a janitor. You said your principal recognized your hard work, gave you that job, and also recognized that you could probably use a job, money that you could use to help support your family. And this talks about, I think, perhaps gets at some of the mutual support and the ways in which community was really looking out for one another in those days.
Oh, no question about that. One of the things that really kept us together as a family, our house was in the middle of a field. My aunt lived across another field, at another aunt on the opposite side, and then friends in the back of us. So we always were very close-knit. We worked together. We loved one another. We appreciate one another, our hard work and determination to make better lives for the future.
And you did some of that, and you talked about being in the Marines. Some of that was overseas duty, then Fortune 500 companies, all far from Princeville, North Carolina, and you came back. What brought you back?
When I was terminated and couldn't find a job, I had no other choice but to come back home. Was not in the heart of Princeville, in the ETJ. I worked there for a while, and then when the flood came of 99, that forced me to Rocky Mount, and I stayed there for probably 10 years, and I just had the desire to come back to Princeville. I always worked as a volunteer doing various things for the town on the Historical Society, Cemetery Commission, and things of that nature, and my people that lived in the town of Princeville saw my dedication to the town, so when I moved back, they started asking me to run for mayor, and I turned so many people down because I really am not a politician. I just love the town of Princeville. I love what I do. But what really made me run for mayor was all the negative articles in the newspapers about the town of Princeville telling the world that we didn't know what we were doing. So that was my emphasis was running, and we ran on a theme of for every negative article that we see in the newspaper, we would produce 5 positive articles. And from that day forward to now, we have been doing just that.
Well, talk about the challenges of doing just that, because you told us that Princeville at the turn of the century had a booming black business district. So what are the challenges for economic development today in telling the good story, developing the good story for Princeville?
Well, I think we're on the right track now, because that was one of the other emphasis that we focused on was making sure that we, and after the 16 flood, to build back bigger, better, and bolder. And right now, we are doing exactly that. We have purchased an additional 53 acres of land, which will be used for multi-use. And one of the main things that we are focusing in on is housing. As you know, Eastern North Carolina, there's a shortage of housing, and we in Edgecombe County have about between 2,500 to 3,000 new jobs coming, and we want to make sure that the people have an opportunity to live in Edgecombe County and work in Edgecombe County, and that's the way we make not only Princeville better, but we make Edgecombe County better as well.
I mean, that does seem to... Oh, go ahead, please.
Okay, on that 53 acres as well, it is on 64 bypass, which will be turned into Interstate 87 from Florida to Virginia. And we have prime property looking for commercial development so that our goal is to make sure we become self-sufficient and self-sustaining, not having to go outside of the city limits to get anything that we need.
You know, it's interesting to think about what this pandemic has shown us about our economic system, about the global economic supply chain that had been, you know, touted for so long as the best way forward and the best way to progress for all of us. And now we can see its glaring weaknesses and its inadequacy in serving the needs of most people. And it does seem to me that localities have the option and are in a perfect position to develop local economies not so dependent on a global supply chain. I'm thinking about communities all across this state where local Walmart has closed and it has crashed everybody's lives and everybody is begging for Walmart to come back. But of course, that decision gets made far, far away. What are those jobs? You talked about building, construction, commercial land, commercial real estate that could be developed. What are the kind of jobs that you see moving in? What do you see people doing that could get us off of this global supply chain and onto a more sustainable local economy?
Well, it's one thing. It is really amazing to watch our young people at work in this pandemic. We have two very strong young people who are Kendrick Ransom is one and Kelsey Dew is the other. Kendrick Ransom has made himself into a farmer. And not only is he farming and producing crops, but he's teaching other people about the benefits of organic farming. He's going on to college campuses, presenting, and he's really motivated. He's motivated me to understand that even though that the world may not understand what he's doing, he's providing a way of living not only for himself, but for his family as well. And Kelsey Dew, she's an AmeriCorps volunteer working with the town of Princeville, and she's producing her own vegetables in her backyard in addition to a chicken coop. She's producing eggs. She's producing chicken themselves. So those are the type of things that we are exploring right now, even though we have some buyout properties where we cannot put any buildings on. It's a prime opportunity for us to create a community garden. We are in a position now to ensure that none of our people are starving.
To what extent do you think maybe the struggles of Princeville for you know, right from the start and through today, to what extent do those struggles, if they do, put it almost in a better position to recreate itself and to become a model, not only for Black Americans, but maybe for all of us, but to actually reconstruct ourselves in a more sustainable way?
Well, it's nothing new for us. For myself especially and people of my generation, we were born with absolutely nothing. I remember going to school with my toes hanging out because my mom and dad couldn't afford shoes to put on my feet. But at the same token, we were out in the fields learning the trade of farming. We had our own pigs. We had our own chickens. We had goats. You name it, we produced our food for ourselves. So we have that experience and that we can pass on to future generations. As I mentioned before, those two young people already have the experience. So we are willing to train others and be motivated about what we're doing to ensure that Princeville and Edgecombe County survives.
The reality is it is still vulnerable and those storms are getting worse. Are people willing to stick with you, Bobby?
Yes, and one of the most exciting things about where we are now is the federal government and the state government has just allocated $40 million to the Army Corps of Engineers to enhance our dike. We are also looking at this time, we're working on the stormwater project. So all those things, are in addition to we having 75 homes being elevated now, all those are mitigations against future flooding. There are no 100% guarantees that we will not be flooded again. But what we're doing now, we'll alleviate some of the most dreadful outcomes of the flood.
Bobby Jones, what an honor to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Bobby Jones, the mayor of Princeville, North Carolina. And you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org.